Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout. Here we will discuss the best options for the captaincy for the season, game week 5 we've got here. So my name is Joe, and joining me each week to discuss this season's best armband candidates is Fantasy Football Scout Deputy Editor Tom Freeman. Tom, welcome. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Joe. So-so game week, but good to see the big captaincy kind of options will deliver.
Yeah, we recommended a whole bunch of players, but we did highlight that, you know, the likes of Ronaldo and hey presto, they delivered. I did try and press Neil on the team news video about whether Ronaldo would start, and he reluctantly agreed that he would, and so he was right. So he shouldn't have been so reluctant, should have been more forceful with that. So but yeah, I mean, Lukaku, then of course those that didn't make those moves, Fernandes and Salah also did well. And Aubameyang, who was our maverick pick for the captaincy, came through. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a good week for a lot of options. Before we look at Game Week 5's candidates, understand there's some Champions League offer to tell everyone about.
Yeah, so we've got the Fantasy Champions League group stage tournament launches today. I think you'll see a graphic on the screen shortly, but the top prize is €50,000. And it's a really straightforward game. You pick a strong 11 for 6 games. It's just the group stage. No price rises, no wild card, no bench. So quite a fun game to have a go at. And that launches today. But just remember, there's a couple of early kickoffs in there as well. So yeah, be aware of that. But we've got some good offers on over at the site at the moment. I think the lead article tells you a bit more about it, so go and have a look at that. You can get some your scout membership free if you sign up for the game, so yeah, have a look at that on site now.
Okay, thanks a lot for that. Just saying hello to a few people in the chat who've joined us. Thanks a lot for joining us on this Tuesday lunchtime. We've got Jay, capital FPL, Andreas, Kadawakshi. Now I'm probably mispronounced that massively wrong. James Moshi as well, and Beanie Man. So well done, everyone who's joined us. And sorry for those I haven't mentioned. I'm just rattling through the names as quick as I can on the screen. So yeah, as we said, lots and lots of captaincy picks came through last week. Can we be as lucky this time around? And on paper, it looks like Liverpool is the best place to go for the armband. Salah looks a standout option, but there could be others amongst Liverpool's ranks as well. But what about Palace? So we'll look at some defensive stats later. And then meanwhile, the stats we've got up on the screen at the moment are expected goal involvement for some of the Liverpool's key assets. So we can see that Mane, Salah, Alexander-Arnold and Jota are the front runners at the moment, but Salah and Mane in particular. So Tom, yeah, what do we think? I mean, on paper, Captain Salah. Or is it that simple?
Yeah, well, I mean, firstly, Liverpool, I thought, were excellent at Leeds at the weekend. They outshot them 30-9, I think it was. Mm. They did benefit from the sending off, of course. But even up until that point, Liverpool were really on top. I think Salah had 3 shots. Bit unfortunate not to get an assist as well, I thought. When Thiago scored, he was just a yard offside. It's hard to look past Salah this week with that Palace game. I mean, we'll touch on Palace's numbers in a bit, but yeah, I think this looks like the game to target, and Salah looks like the best option with penalties, which is something he has over Mane, of course.
That's it. I mean, Mane's stats are great. 19 shots inside the box so far this season. Yeah. 6 of those on target. Expected goal involvement more than any other Liverpool player of 4. At the moment, and he's created 7 chances, but he's 11.9. Everyone wants expensive strikers. Everyone's got spaces with injured strikers. I can't see Salah owners switching to Mane, and I can't see those without Salah. I can't see those without Salah. I can't see them, literally. I'm not sure who they are. I guess they may want to go for Mane, but really, see, I'm not sure. He's just a victim, really, of his price and the trends at the moment in the game, do you think?
Yeah, exactly. Very difficult to fit in. Everybody wants Salah. Everybody wants one of Ronaldo or Lukaku, maybe even two. And so it's very difficult to fit him in. But we should flag up the stats from the weekend because they were so impressive. I mean, he had 10 shots, three big chances, but he was wasteful in front of goal. But I think I always value players getting into those positions. On another day, two or three of them might go in. So I think we do need to flag that up. But I just think it's so, like you say, it's so difficult to fit him in our current setups for him to become a real contender for the captaincy. And I do value that penalties that Salah has. And he's been so reliable this season, Salah, hasn't he? You know, he's delivered in three of the four game weeks. The one game week he didn't deliver in, he was really unfortunate not to. I think it was home against Burnley. So it's hard to look past him this week, I think. But Palace numbers, defensive numbers.
Well, I'll put the whipping boys table up so far. And we did highlight Palace last week when we were talking about Spurs options against Palace. We sort of weren't so keen because Palace are not whipping boys. We're starting to see that now. So yeah, I've got this. This is big chances conceded. So we will come to some of those teams at the top in a bit. But where are Palace? I've got to go all the way down. And yeah, in terms of big chances conceded, Brentford, City, and Wolves, no, Brentford and City are the only better ones, and they're on a par with Liverpool. So, does this put you off Salah for the captaincy?
Well, I think it is impressive because you look at who Palace have played so far. They played Chelsea, Brentford, West Ham, and Spurs. So, yeah, it's a small sample size, but even so, they've played some good teams there and done pretty well. I mean, Spurs were pretty blunt at the weekend. They didn't offer a great deal going forward. I think, obviously, given the form that Liverpool are in at the moment, they'll ask a lot more questions. It doesn't put me off somebody like Salah, but I just think it's something to be wary of. I mean, I had a look at the split of where they'd conceded their chances, and these aren't big chances, these are just chances. And I think it was they conceded 12 from the left, 10 from the centre, and 9 from the right. So there's no obvious split there where you're thinking, oh, I'd favour him or that. And you know, they're doing pretty well under Vieira. Not well enough, I don't think, to put me off Salah completely. They did concede three at Chelsea. They did concede two at West Ham, wasn't it? So, but the numbers suggest that it might not be as easy as maybe we first thought with this matchup.
I think those with other options in mind, this could be an opportunity. This could be an opportunity because looking at those defensive stats there, I feel confident with Salah because he has penalties. I feel confident because he's Salah. But at the same time, I'm not sure it's going to be, you know, we've seen, was it, I think it was last season, with Salah away at Palace. He came on as a substitute and just
Correct.
huge haul, absolutely huge haul. I mean, loads of Liverpool attackers did. And that's a different Palace side now. He's at home. So I think I'm going to come away with this. If Salah can score and maybe get a bonus, I'm going to come away with this happy man. But I'm not really expecting a big score. Well, we've got some expected goal involvement for some players' stats to put up. And so this may give us some other ideas and some other options if we didn't want to go for Salah or indeed Mane. And I've sorted this by minutes per XGI because City are playing Southampton and City, we don't know the lineup. So in terms of, I think it's unfair to compare City assets with other teams with other assets because there may be rotation with Champions League. Pep does tend to rotate more around Champions League. And this I mean this shows that Mahrez, if he plays, could be a great option. Ronaldo's up there. Few more City names as well, but Mane's there. And Aubameyang is amongst the best for minutes per XGI. And he plays Burnley, who I think we can agree are awful at the moment. So just looking at this briefly before we touch on some of these players, does this indicate that there may be better options than Salah?
I think it's just so hard to pinpoint with City who will start in that. I mean, Mahrez and Sterling haven't been starting, have they? And it's been favouring Grealish on the flanks and Torres through the middle. even Torres got hauled off early at the weekend after what 64 minutes. It feels risky. I mean, I'd love to be able to sit here and say if once De Bruyne's back and he's fit, he may then become a real option from City. He tends to play most weeks. And Grealish, to be fair to him, has played a lot of minutes this season. But it's very hard to elevate them
No.
above Salah, in my opinion. But there is one guy who
Yeah,
probably
okay. Shall I get the
deserves.
picture? Shall I get the picture ready for him? Hopefully, I've got him.
Let's do
It's not Callum Wilson, is it? No, he's injured.
it.
Is it? I'm just gonna guess now. I'm gonna put a picture of him up, and hopefully, I've got it right. Okay, you fire away. Who is it?
Yeah, well, it's got to be Ronaldo, hasn't it? I mean, yeah, we got it right. I mean, that dream debut of the weekend, wasn't it? Two goals, six shots, five shots in the box. Led the line really well, drifted out to the left a little bit, but linked play. On paper, this doesn't stand out as a great fixture. You know, West Ham are a good team, but it's this Europa League involvement which is maybe making me look into him a little bit more. West Ham are playing in Croatia on Thursday night. They've got to get used to this new schedule, this Thursday, Sunday schedule. And we've seen with teams in the past who aren't used to that, it can take a while to adapt, can't it? So I think I'll be really keeping a keen eye on that team sheet on Thursday. If they heavily rotate and there's a lot of fringe players, a lot of reserve players featuring, then you might think, maybe not. But if it's the first team that he puts out, then I think we need to pay attention to that. And of course, there'll be no Antonio as well. So
Yeah, I
obviously
mean
he was suspended.
it was imp I mean it's just one game so far, Ronaldo, but it's not one game, it's decades of games we have the knowledge with. So what he did against Newcastle, I got a bit of a stick from people. I put some figures up saying how good, they showed how Ronaldo was, and to keep an eye on those, shots per minute there, as if it was like a one-off, but it's not. It's just any other game where Ronaldo is excellent, and there's another one coming up against West Ham. But so yeah, he's currently my vice captain, and a little devil or angel in my head on Friday will say, "Why don't you switch the armband? This could be your opportunity." And as you said, West Ham defence on paper is actually worse than Palace, so. Could be something in it. Hey, there's another guy facing another poor defence as well. So I'll put the whipping boys table up again. And we can see Tottenham in there with seven big chances conceded. Just below Southampton and Watford. So yeah, Lukaku, an intriguing captaincy option this week. What do you think?
Yeah, he looks like a good option, doesn't he? I mean, Spurs against Palace were just terrible at the weekend, and it looks like they're going to be a bit depleted again at the back because they've got Tanganga, who is suspended now. Dia hobbled off injured quite early on in that match at the weekend, and then they've got the other two. They've got Romero and Sanchez, who are back late, having played for Argentina during the international break. Now I think they will be back in time, but I'm pretty sure they're arriving later on this week. So you're suddenly thinking, well, yes, Spurs kept clean sheets in the first three games. I do think they're a little bit unfortunate in that time to do that, but you know we saw how Palace could get at them at the weekend. Now you've got a striker like Lukaku who just looks so ruthless, doesn't he? I mean, I think against Villarreal, he had eight final third touches and scored two goals. I mean, it's that kind of striker which Chelsea were missing against these kind of teams so much last season, and now they've got him. I don't think he's up there with Salah, but I think I can totally see why people are looking at it and thinking he could bully that Spurs backline at the weekend.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a very strong option. I think those with Lukaku, instead of Ronaldo and also Salah will have that little devil or angel in their head like I have on Friday and think, "Shut, is this an opportunity for me to get a march on everyone?" It's a risk. Betting against Salah is a risk. But betting for Lukaku or Ronaldo perhaps isn't. We spoke about City a bit earlier. Let's put some more stats up for them, because I mean, you and I are quite sensible managers with our captaincy. But there are other people who just go, "What the hell? Let's just go for it." And they might just think, "I don't care about rotation. I'm just going to risk it." And there is a big upside. They do play Southampton at home, and we'll get an insight, a small insight, because the Champions League will happen before. So we'll get an insight into perhaps who might be rested for this. And minutes per XGI, expected goal involvement, show that Mahrez, Sterling, Jesus, Grealish, Torres and Gundogan are your options, I think, there. If you were forced to captain a City player at the moment, and, you know, let's bear in mind there's rotation risk with all of them, so they've all got equal risk. If you were to captain one, which one would it be?
It would probably be Torres. I mean, he's leading the line. But again, we need to see that lineup. It's tomorrow against Leipzig they play. If Torres were to be benched for that, again, it's dangerous playing Pep Roulette, because we're going to say if he's benched tomorrow, we're going to immediately think he starts. And we've seen it before when all the logic points towards a start and then it gets to the game week and then it doesn't happen. So it is incredibly risky, but, you know, he's an explosive option, Torres, isn't he? He's, you know, he's that player who could go and get two or three goals in a game. But again, the minutes are a bit of a worry. Even at the weekend, he starts and he's taken off after 60 or so minutes. So it's risky. Pre-CL game, probably think Grealish looks like the most nailed of those options at the moment, I would say. He's playing on the left wing now. He started off playing a bit more central. He's moved a bit further forward on the left, which I prefer him in. I always preferred him at Villa in that position, in an FPL sense. But yeah, it's like you say, we're maybe sensible managers, and it's not something I'm particularly keen on this week, but I can see that kind of appeal with it for some managers.
There is an upside there for those betting against Salah against the Palace defence, which is which is, you know, a realistic assumption that he might not do as well as we think. There are opportunities here. Let's have a look at the remaining fixtures, and there is another one that appeals to me for the more maverick captaincy picker, which is Leeds taking on Newcastle on Friday night. Now, there was some talk, just rumours, that Bamford may have some kind of injury, small injury, we don't know. I mean, is this something you've heard as well?
Yeah, well, I think it was after the game against Liverpool at the weekend. He seemed to just be kind of holding his kind of hamstring area after the game. And I think there was a little kind of mention in an interview going around where he said it wasn't too comfortable. I forget the exact wording of it. I don't think it's anything to worry about. But of course, on the run up to the deadline, monitor that, monitor the team news. And Bielsa's normally pretty forthcoming with injury news, so hopefully we'll hear more. But if he is fit, it's a good fixture, isn't it?
Yeah. So, alternatively, Rafinha could be an option as well. I mean, I'll put those whipping boys stats up again, just to show how bad Newcastle are. 16 big chances conceded. Expected goals conceded is highest again. This is highest out of all teams. Expected, you know, well over 10 goals. It's Arsenal. I mean, Arsenal had a poor start. I think Arsenal are looking better defensively now. Leeds are up there themselves. So, you know, Callum Wilson's not available. Still injured by the looks of it.
Could be some goals in that game, though.
So there could be some goals. Indeed, they don't really have much of a defence. And Newcastle have an habit of scoring, even without Wilson. They do have options. I'm not saying they're going to win, but they do have an option of crushing a few clean sheet dreams there. So definitely an option. Going back to the fixtures, anyone else here? And I have put my notes here. Aubameyang against Burnley. What do you think?
Well, he was the spot the differential pick last week. Mm-hmm. You flagged it up as well. And I did like that fixture. I think he had six shots in the game and five shots in the box, so he was heavily involved. Burnley last night they did okay at Everton for 60 minutes, and then Everton flipped the system from a back three to a 4-3-3 and just blew them out.
It was within five minutes, like three goals in five minutes or something. Yeah,
I was doing the updates for Scout on Twitter, and it was just an absolutely crazy kind of 10-minute spell. But it just shows that how vulnerable. Yeah, they did well for a spell, but if they're that susceptible in a small period to a system change, and Decore and Gray were causing problems for them, and they haven't posted great numbers this season anyway, It's a fixture you kind of look at and do think, well, you know, Arsenal are getting key players back, aren't they now?
Yeah.
You know, they're stuck. They've got White, they've got Gabriel, they've got Partey coming back. So they've got, so important players for the team. Again, I wouldn't put him near Salah, but these options are worth, you know, looking into and exploring for your own teams. I know Magnus Carlsen brought in Aubameyang on his wild card last week as well and did well for it. So there is some good managers looking at him. I think captaincy might be a bit of a stretch this week, but an interesting option with, you know, and another name to add to the forward lines, those premiums, from being very little at the beginning of the season, it's suddenly stacking up a bit now, isn't it?
There's some other good matchups, but I don't know about captaincy. Were there any other options you thought of, you know, with the more maverick manager in mind for the armband this
week? Well, you know, you look at that Wolves fixture, but again, going back to the table that you posted, Joe, I mean, Wolves have given up very little so far this season. Brentford have given up very little so far this season.
And I think so it's
two big chances.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're looking at the kind of Wolves options, and you're not going to captain a Traore or a Trincao, I don't think. And Jimenez has actually been dropping quite deep in the games to facilitate those two breaking into space ahead of him. He's obviously yet to get off the mark, so that feels like a fixture happy to own, not to captain. But I think those are the key fixtures, you know, which we've pulled out. Villa and Everton, you're not going to look at. Norwich and Watford, Brighton and Leicester. I mean, you've got Vardy there, but Brighton are a good team, as you know, Joe, defensively at home. It does feel like probably Salah, Ronaldo, and Lukaku, and Mane, if you're looking at another Liverpool option, are probably the ways to go this week, I think.
The Seamus in the chat has pointed out the phrase that Bamford used, which I heard this morning and forgot, which was "my hamstring is pinging." Now I hear that and I think, ooh, that doesn't sound like I want to captain that person. But so as you said, Bielsa is great with the team news. He's quite forthcoming, and sometimes he's been known to actually just say, "Right, I'm playing this 11." As well.
Yeah, it's not what you want to hear though, because if he starts the match, if he's had that little niggle and he's been talking about it and he's got another game on Friday night, bearing in mind he's played on Sunday, that might feel a bit too risky for some. So if you want to target that fixture, it's probably Rafinha behind Bamford is the best option there.
Yes, indeed. I think we've covered everything. It's a shorter one this week because there's, you know, slightly less options. Last week was quite a long one because of all the options that we've got to consider. But as you said, it looking like the premium players, the premium strikers and Salah, you know, are definitely in the running, especially when the likes of Liverpool, Chelsea and Manchester United have quite favourable fixtures there. But for now, Tom, thanks so much for joining me. Good luck, everyone who has joined us for the stream. All 600 of you. Oh, by the way, only 43 likes so far. I'm assuming that's just because you've forgotten. But do please press that like button now. It does help. And so good luck, everyone, with your captaincy. I'm saying good luck to everyone. You're still not pressing like, but you will in a sec, hopefully. And Tom, good luck with your captaincy decision as well.